While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'The time has come.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first. But it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. Before all this happens, however, they will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to the prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself will give you wisdom in speaking, that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
For the Jewish people, the temple was truly the center of their spiritual life. They believed that in the inner sanctum of the temple, a place that a priest could only go to minister to one day a year, was God's presence. God was present among them, the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that led them out of slavery, the same one that guided them for 40 years in the desert and vanquished the enemies before them so they could take possession of the promised land. The temple was truly the center of their life. And even today, even though there is only one wall, and when I say a wall, it's really more of a foundation of the original temple, it's still an important place, not just for Jewish people, but for even for Christians to go and to pray at. The cracks that are left by the mortar that has long since deteriorated, you'll find little slips of paper stuck in that have prayer requests and petitions written on them. It's a popular destination for bar mitzvahs. And while I was there in Jerusalem, I witnessed one of those bar mitzvahs. So if you're looking at the wall, behind you at the other end of the enclosure is a series of cabinets. And inside those cabinets is scrolls of the Torah, what we would call the first five books of the Bible. And you'll see the young man, 13 years old, go to one of those cabinets, open it up, pull out the scroll, and walk to the wall, much as I did with the book of the Gospel. It's a joyous time for their family, as he, for the first time, has the privilege to read from the Torah, and he does so at that original temple wall. And so what must it have been like when the temple was destroyed around 69 AD? What must it have been like for the people that witnessed the center of their spiritual life destroyed, the house of God no longer standing? It was probably quite a shock to them, shaking their worldview. Sure, on the one hand, they had been under the Roman rule. But the Romans were willing to let them continue to worship their God as they see fit. But now the temple, God's presence on earth, was now destroyed. They probably figured that this was a punishment for something that they had done. And they probably figured God had abandoned them. When St. Luke was writing his gospel, he had all of these stories to choose from about Jesus. But because papyrus is a very expensive thing, he could only select so many of them to put into writing. And one of the things he chose was this prediction of Jesus that the temple would be destroyed. He wrote his gospel down roughly about 80 AD, so some 10 years after the temple was destroyed. The people still were questioning that God had abandoned them. But he wrote this to show them that no, God has not abandoned you, but he has now taken a different way of making his presence felt. His presence is in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God has now chosen to make his presence felt in the human family by becoming one of them. By a man who walked and talked, who ate, who laughed, who cried. By a man that they could physically touch. By a man who could feel sorrow at the death of a friend. By a man who could feel the pain of the lashes before he was then nailed to the cross, by a man who could die. But he was God's Son, God's presence now among us. And because of the resurrection, that presence did not stop at his death, but continued to be now perpetuated by the sacraments of Christ's church. Jesus made a promise at the end of Matthew's gospel, "I am with you always till the end of time." Now, he did not guarantee that his presence among us meant that we would no longer suffer, that we would no longer experience trials and tribulations, but that he would be with us. For some people, it's easy to wonder if maybe God has abandoned us today. When we look at the world and we see natural disasters that take lives and put people out of their homes, when we see the story about another fatal school shooting, when we see how people are trafficking fellow human beings for money, it's easy for us to think that maybe God has abandoned us. But that is not the case. Jesus did not guarantee us that all of that would go away, but he guaranteed us that he would be with us to assist us in our journey throughout this life and to be able to continue to lead us to eternal life in heaven. The tragedy of the cross was turned into victory by our Heavenly Father raising his Son from the dead. And that victory then is offered to each one of us at our baptism. The very moment of our baptism, we are made members of the body of Christ, the church. But also we are offered the gift of eternal life. But also, We become temples of the Holy Spirit. Another way that Jesus makes his presence felt in our life, that God's presence continues on this life, is through the gift of the Holy Spirit, who at the very moment of our baptism has taken up residence in our hearts and accompanies us every moment of our life together. This is the new way that God makes his presence, enters in the presence of the human family, makes his presence known on this earth. Not in a building, but in the hearts of believers. And so, my dear friends, as we continue our celebration of the Eucharist, a celebration that will allow us to once again experience the real presence of Jesus Christ, we give thanks to God for continuing to be present to us, to giving us the gift of the Spirit, so that we may know he is truly with us each and every step of our way throughout life's journey. And with that presence, we know that we can endure anything, because this life is not the end, but just a chapter leading us to eternal life in heaven.